Hello, my little Ozarkians. That's what I'm going to call you from now on, because that's what we are. We're fans of this incredible show. We're talking about season 2, episodes 1 through 5. So a lot of juicy, meaty Ozark stuff to talk about. We're going to be giving overall thoughts. We're going to be talking about our top moments, shockers, the evolution of Marty, the evolution of Wendy, Ruth. We got a lot to chat about, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah. It was smooth.
Wow. Hello, and welcome to the Ozark After Show.
Hey.
We're getting into the groove, because we got a lot to cover, so we got to make it fun. Because there's a lot of darkness here. I mean, the show itself is pretty dark.
Very dark.
Literally, if I try to watch it on my phone, I have to turn up maximum brightness.
Yes, you're right.
So, before we go any further, my name is Lauren LaGrasso, and I will be moderating along with these amazing people to my left. Please, tell them about yourself.
Hi, guys. I am Paris Rose, Paris with 2 R's.
What's up, everyone? I'm Tanir Williams.
Hi, guys. I'm Tara Erickson.
And we are your panel for this episode and the next as we go on this lovely journey. So
Yes. We're
covering episodes 1 through 5 today. There's a lot there. It all starts to blend together because you're probably just watching them back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
So I wanted to start out with, what are everyone's overall thoughts of the episode?
Juicy. I feel like
juicy like the deer.
Yeah. I feel like season 1 was a little slow. Which I like. I like a slow build-up.
Mm-hmm.
But season 2 has just been, like, spicy every single episode. I love the women in this season.
Yes,
Ruth, Wendy, they're badasses. And so I'm loving it.
Let's hear it for the girls.
Yes.
Hey. Tanir, we love you, too.
I know. I appreciate that. No, I got to agree with you, though. Especially Wendy, man. I mean, from the beginning, first couple episodes, you're like, whoa. Like, okay, she's not just, like, sitting by, like, oh, what are we going to do, Marty? Yeah. She's taking things into her own hands. So, my thoughts on that, like you said, straight up, she's like, I'm getting in here too. And it's kind of cool to see. I like how the whole family dynamic kind of even changes a little bit, you know, as she steps it up. So.
Yeah. Especially because the kids know.
Right.
Yeah. That adds an interesting layer.
Yeah. I mean, season 1, I didn't like Ruth that much. I was like, oh, she kind of bugs me. And now I'm like, I love her. She is like part of my soul.
Right.
I love Wendy too, but Ruth, get at it.
Yes.
I love her in this season. She brings me light and joy, even though she's like dark in it. But I'm like, yes.
She's dark, but she's also the comic relief, which is so necessary for a show like this, because otherwise we would just be sad all the time.
Right.
There's so much darkness. I'm totally in with you. The women have blown me away in this season. I agree that it has been strong right off the bat. I mean, so far, I'm loving it more than season 1, which is, I think, really hard to do, to build upon something that was already great and make it even greater. But hopefully most great shows do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on. But what were your top moments in these first 5 episodes?
Mm. Cool.
Oh my god. Well, when they killed their own son, I was like, my goodness.
The Snells?
Like, yes.
Okay. And he wasn't their biological son, but he's basically like their manservant,
like,
who they love.
Who they loved, who, like, to me was like, which is why she wants like another child.
I want a baby.
But yeah. I'm like, oh my god. I was like, yes, starting off with a bang. That was a favorite moment of mine, because we all knew that had to happen. There had to be reparations for her killing one of their men, and I was like, well, great, someone else has to die, like, who's it gonna be? And then he just does it, and I was like, this is so great, like, I just loved it.
Gotta love a good murder.
I love true crime podcasts too. Okay.
I think one of the top moments was with Wendy, when they were going through the whole trying to get the casino stuff passed.
That's mine.
And just, well, for me, I don't know if it might be the exact same one, but just when she set dude up in the hotel room with the prostitute, you know, or whatever.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And so for me, I think I was talking about it. I was like, not only like does he get caught, you know, just cheating, but the way that they set it up, I mean, in terms of what he was doing when she walked in, it was one of those like, oh no, like kind of moments on the phone, you know, I'm like looking at it like, no, you did it. And you know, he's caught doing that, and she's just like, her face, and that was kind of the most gangster moment for me of Wendy, because the way she just came in and she was just like, you know, she's just all calm. Uh-huh. You know, she's just yeah, so we know we got you. Yeah. And she kind of looks him up like some, I think the line she was like, you know, this may hate, like, hurt me more than it does you. And then she's like, well,
probably not.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, Wendy.
So good.
So, yeah, Laura Linney was killing it, man. I was just they stepped it up, you know. So I'm sure she was loving it too, Brian, when she was reading these scripts. Like, yeah, let me get in there. So
if you're going to do TV from film, I mean, this is the way to go.
There you go.
That was legit my moment. Everything from that quote that she had, everything. It was just so powerful and so badass. And it kind of reminds me of Breaking Bad. Because for a while you're watching, I don't know if you guys are Breaking Bad fans.
Yes. Oh, but yeah.
You're watching Walter White kind of become this bad guy. And you think he has things under control, but then his wife really is the brains behind everything. And I feel like Wendy's that, like, times 10.
Yeah, because Skylar was a little bit of a snooze fest.
Wendy's
got a personality.
That's what it is. Right, totally. Yeah, she's sassy and she's cold. The way she just says these things, like, in a monotone, like, matter-of-fact way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, I love her. But also Ruth, like, I don't have a favorite moment with Ruth, except every moment. Every
moment.
Her accent, she's so country. Right. I just love watching her evolve. It's great.
So mine was a little moment, but I loved when they went to hit, Marty and Buddy went to pitch to the mobster. I think his name is Frank. And he was talking about his wife. And it was just good to see Buddy in his element, in his power. And my other favorite moment was also with Buddy. And it was the climax of these first five episodes, which is when he told Wendy, hey, you got to do something.
Yeah.
Let's go do this. So she's distracting little Miss Snell in there, telling her, oh, yeah, I can totally get you a baby. No problem.
Right.
While he's out burning the field and having his last victory dance before he, you know, well, it seems like he may perish.
Right.
We don't know. So we talked a little bit about Ruth, but one of the big things that happens with Ruth in these first five episodes is her dad is back. And we saw him a little bit in season one, but Cade is a new character to us.
Right.
So what are your impressions of that relationship overall?
Ugh, creepy. I hate it. Yeah. I don't like it. It makes me really uncomfortable. Anytime he like enters the room, he stands too close to her. And then when he's drunk and he climbs into her bed and like gives her a talk, I'm like, it's just really inappropriate. But like it needs to be there to show the relationship of what that family's been through, what they find acceptable and what could happen and maybe what has happened to her in the past, which
like
makes her
sexual
so strong.
Assault.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I think builds her up to be, like, why she's such a strong character. Is like, you think, like, this is anything? Like, you have no idea what I've been through.
Why do you think she broke him out of jail? Because it was ultimately her testimony that got him out, that got him acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think it was in her that made her want to do that?
I think it's still just that family tie. Like, it's like she's trying to prove something, like, to her dad. Like, she was so happy when he saw him. Like, look, Dad, look what I'm doing. I got this job. Like, we're going to move to this house. You know, and, of course, he just comes and shoots her down with everything she said. But she's kind of like, just like, I just want that love from my dad. You know, it's like nothing's ever good enough. Or he's just so Debbie Downer for everything. And for something, like you said, with all that, you would think, like, come on, Ruth, just forget him, you know, leave him. But it's just like, I think it's just that something for in a child. It's just like, I just want you to, you know, be happy for me or like acknowledge
or
me.
Or love me.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me that I'm enough.
And then when you can, it was always painful just to see when, you know, you thought they were, or in her mind, maybe they were making progress. And then there was like the car scene when he's all drunk. He like slams her head on the dashboard. And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
She's looking like, I just, you know, I'm trying to help you. And for me, in the first season, there was times when I was just like, oh, Ruth, like, I can't stand this little girl.
You know,
but this season, I'm just, like, totally pulling for it because you're just seeing how she's just really trying, like, to help everybody who's not trying to help themselves. Like, she's the only one who cares, whether it's Wyatt, her dad. And you're just like, ah, oh, like, she's, and, you know, sometimes when she relapses into her, like, when she smacked the school counselor by the wife.
Yeah.
I was like, and then she immediately was like, oh, like,
right.
You know, but you're like, man, it's, but she handles her business, so I love Ruth, you know.
feel bad for Ruth. I think she really is, she's really trying. And it's one of these shows where you kind of are rooting for the bad guy, because they are really the bad guys. They're doing terrible things. They're part of, like, this, the cartel. They're selling heroin. They're laundering money. But you really want them to win. I feel like everyone I want to win. I want Wendy to win. I want Ruth to win. It's like Marty's the one now who's, like, getting on my nerves.
Mm. Well, he's trying to play both sides, I think. He's trying to simultaneously be this mastermind, money launderer, and also pretend like he's a good guy. So that's an interesting line to walk, because I think what we like about Ruth and Wendy is Wendy in this season is committed to pretty much being bad, with the exception of Mason, who we will get to. But Marty still kind of thinks he's a good guy who kind of did a few bad things. And there's this really interesting quote. I reread some Vulture recaps of what happened, and the person who wrote the article said this: "It's interesting that the writers of Ozark have purposely made the traditional good guy in Agent Petty, who's the FBI officer trying to get them, into a loathsome creep, trying to offset the moral quandary at the center of the show," which is why I think we're all rooting for the traditional bad guy, right? Because their insides seem a little bit less morally corrupt than the quote-unquote good guy, who is Agent Petty.
Right.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, it's, the character development and all the way, like you said, the storylines, and you're just, I don't know how to even describe it. Like, sometimes I'm just torn in, like, so many different ways, which is good, because you're just like, I got to see the next episode, or, like, how could this happen, or whatever twists and turns are going on. So these first, like you said, within these first five episodes, all the stuff that's gone on, it's, man, sometimes your head just gets blown, you know, type thing. So
definitely. Now, going back to some of the characters, one person that I personally thought was dead at the end of last season, but it turns out is alive and preaching on the streets, is Mason. What do you think the purpose of bringing him back will be or is, and why do you think that they have chosen to make Wendy feel responsible for him? Because it's very clear that she's trying to save him.
That is a great point. I had that question myself. What is Mason's point? They're still around.
I thought he drowned himself.
Well, he almost drowned his babies, they made it seem like, but it ended up being that he just was baptizing him.
Right.
Yeah.
Quick
yeah.
swim. Yeah, long baptism, you know?
Yeah, so I was like, oh my God, they destroyed this man. Right. But now I really don't get what his purpose is, other than maybe to show us how terrible this family is affecting other people's lives. Mm. And maybe to remind us that they really aren't the good guys. Look, because this guy, Mason, is the actual good guy. So I think it just serves as a reminder.
Yeah. Like, to make them feel guilt of, like, hey, there's things that they've done in the past. It's not just right here now that it's continually getting worse. It's like, dude, it was already bad back then. So I feel like it just serves as, like, a guilt reminder to see how they would deal with that in terms of, like, they set them up to be a family and they're just trying to do their best, but got caught up with a cartel and, like, laundering money. But
then you're
like, but then you're like, man, this guy shows up to be like, here's your reminder of, like, real life SHIT
that you, like, cut my wife open and yanked out my baby.
Exactly. So nice little reminder.
Right.
He's like, I agree. So another character that returned this season is Rachel. And Rachel returned with a bang. She crashed into a pole.
Right.
And then was made into a mole. Rhymes.
Oh, she's got bars.
So this is something personally I didn't see coming. I don't think that she's a great informant. I'm worried for her. Petty seems like he is hell-bent on either killing her or getting information. And there's not a lot of gray space between the two. What are your thoughts on her situation and where this is potentially going? And her in general.
I feel bad because I also am annoyed by her because I'm so focused on the birds winning and not getting caught and she's in their way and I'm just like, Marty did care for you. He did try to help you. You stole his money. And so now I'm kind of mad at Rachel, even though she doesn't deserve that.
Right. At the same time, he ruined her life.
Exactly. Yeah. So I should be team her, but I'm just like, you are messing with the birds. And that's my focus at the moment.
I also think that she's, because of some of the stuff that and baggage that she's got going on. I mean, with all the, you know, the drugs and all that, you know, that stuff.
I don't remember that from the first season. Was she on drugs in the first
season?
She
was clean. She was sober.
She was sober. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
So, yeah, that's, you know, like you said, in terms of when she's coming back, she's the informant, then she's got all this stuff going on. And It's funny because, you know, the relationship that she has with Patty, I mean, obviously she hates him, you know, but I forgot which episode it was when he thought like the case was blown or she had mentioned something to Marnie, takes her out in the woods, and I literally thought, I was like,
he's gonna kill her.
Yeah,
yeah, it's episode four.
Petty is in that mind for like, he does not care, so like, he's crazy, you know. Yeah. I was like, he literally might do this. Like, normally I might be like, oh, he's just trying to scare her, but I was like, this really might be it for Rachel, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, it wasn't, but yeah, in terms of what she's doing, I mean, her position on the show right now, you know, yeah, it's I don't know. I find myself just kind of like every time I see her on the screen, it's like, this girl.
You know? Yeah. like annoyed by her. Yeah. You know? And it's like, you stole all this money, and now it's like pity party. Where it's like, okay, you're going to go out and get wasted and like get addicted to drugs and then come back and be like, you ruined my life. And it's like, come on. Exactly. Yeah. You were a strong woman to begin with, and like, he did mess you up a little bit, but it's kind of pity party status now that she's back, and I'm like, well, now you're in a mole, and that's even more of a pain in the ass.
That's literally how I felt. Like, whenever she goes back to the well on, do you remember you destroyed us?
It's like, come
after
on.
The third or fourth time, I would have been like, okay, we get it. Can we move on? You know, type thing.
Right.
So,
that's so like funny. My morning meditation says, I'm completely responsible for everything in my life. Absolutely. And it's true, you know, the good and the bad we draw in, and we have to deal with it in a responsible way. So, Rach, come on, girl. Deal with your shit, honey. And another interesting thing is she's trying to befriend Ruth in order to get her to spill the beans. Mm-hmm. And something Ruth tells her is ultimately what tips them off, them being the FBI, off enough to go and raid Marty's house, which is another big thing that happens.
Right.
Thankfully, they don't find anything. My question is, how do they not find anything? They did find the money. They found Charlotte's $5,000, a little less than that. But, like, how do they not find anything else? Where is he keeping it? I know he's keeping it in some of his businesses, but how did they find nothing? He's so smart. I would get caught so quickly.
Yeah.
I could never be a criminal.
Yeah. I think he's really good at just not bringing his business home.
Yeah.
Even though he still does it where, like, they ask him, like, would they find anything in your computer? And he's just nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So chill.
No, that was, like you said, and that was kind of a tip-off when I saw that. Like, how, I mean, I know he can be, like, calm and, like, that's actually, I think, one of his strengths. He's just always so...
Mm-hmm. Even-keeled.
Yeah, you know. But it was just, like, such a calmness, like... Okay, yeah, you guys round us up, and you know, people are going through the house, and he's just kind of sitting there.
Yeah,
and I was
enjoy the decor.
What, you know? I was like, either he's playing it super cool, and they're about to rip open a wall, and whatever, and he's just like, I don't care, you know? Or, like you said, really, he's got his stuff, like, I'm a step ahead, you know, again, so, or we had planned for this, so.
Yeah.
I don't know which one it was, but yeah, I was...
This moment kind of made me realize that Ruth really is just a kid, because she seems like she's got it all together, but she could not tell that Rachel was trying to get information out of her. I was like, Ruth, how are you falling for this? You're supposed to be smarter. And she's chatting away to Rachel, and I just thought she should know better. But then again, she is just looking for a friend. She's looking for a real love. She's looking for companionship. So
somebody to tell her she matters.
Exactly.
That's her biggest desire, is to be proven that she is enough and that she's cared for.
Yeah. And it's also interesting that you mentioned that. Like, she doesn't really have any female friend, or at least that we've seen. It's all, you
or
know,
any female
Wyatt.
Influences.
Yeah, so I think when they were having that little... playing horseshoe and stuff and just talking, I think maybe, like you said, maybe it was just, she was a little vulnerable. Like, hey, finally someone... You know, or whatever. What did they have in common? Or something that they kind of connected on?
Just Marty.
Oh,
is
it just
a jerk.
Yeah, that's
Hashtag
right.
Marty's a
pretty
jerk.
Big dick, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And just having those stories. Yeah, because they were talking about, like, oh, did he do this? And then she was like, yeah. You know, and it was, you know, like you said, I think she finally had someone who could kind of, like, yeah, you know what I'm going through type thing. And that just kind of opened the floodgates, like you said. So
I still feel like she redeemed herself when the heat went down. She was at the safe being like, I'm looking for anything that could give us away.
Yeah.
She's trying to get her job done. And you're like, yes, girl! Like, I just love her so much that even though she had that, you know, the mess up, you're like, she still is trying to save the day, you know, always kind of on top of it.
So this whole situation makes me think of another new character that we need to talk about, which is the badass cartel lawyer, also known as Helen Pierce.
Ooh.
What are our thoughts on her? Ooh. Stone Cold Fox is
icy.
What I think.
Ooh, wow.
I love it.
That's, I thought, when I first saw her, and I was thinking, like, first of all, when you're just coming from like a position like that, from like representing this huge cartel, I guess you could just walk in with that kind of sweat, like, you're not gonna say or do nothing to me. Whatever you think you're gonna say, you know? And it's like everything they would come at her with, like you said, just the monotone face, like the calm, you know, well, my client, this and
my
this,
client,
you
know? Those are the two scariest words uttered in any episode. Don't talk about your client.
She was just, they picked the right person, because that lady, she, I forgot the actress's name, but she is just like, I mean, just her
she's
looks.
She's an Oscar nominated actress. She is awesome. She won a Tony Award.
She plays that part because when she's like you said, just, I mean, I feel it watching it through the screen, just her coldness. And like you said, like, are we finished? Are you
I saw a photo of her. If you Google the actress's name now, I don't remember it at the moment, but if you Google her name, there's a photo of her smiling so wide, and it actually horrified me to see it.
Oh, my God.
You're like, what's going on? You know? No, yeah, I love it, though. I mean, she adds just that other, just that other element of just, I don't know, when she comes in the room, like if I was there, you know, like when she came in to help Marty after they had brought him in, I was thinking, I was like, man, if I was Marty, I would just be like, yeah, what's up now? I got the cartel lawyer, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to go with her. Like,
I'm happy with my representation.
And she's just shooting darts at Petty, like, are we finished? You know, like, I don't have time. Like, you know, I'm like, dang, lady, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm actually impressed with Marty's ability to not pee his pants anytime she comes in the room. Because she scares me through the screen. So I'm just like, how is he? He's always calm. He never actually shows how affected he is by her. Obviously, he is. But he doesn't ever show it. And he he does a good job at keeping his cool in every situation, with even with crazy Darlene, with the Snells. He's always pretty calm. So
you see the storm underneath the calm in this season more, though, than we did in the last season. And something we want to talk about was the evolution of Marty. Personally, I think we're starting to see him crack a little, just underneath the surface. He's not ever going to crack all the way because he's just built too much emotional armor. And I think he's got small levels of sociopath running through his veins. But he is starting to show a little bit of anxiety underneath that calm sea. There's lava underneath. I feel like it might come to the surface.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like Helen Pierce is now like that calm, like person who's taking over. Like Marty has to be a little bit more nervous because there has to be a hierarchy there, and she's kind of at the top now. Especially when she's established going to that gas station is like, well, I gave you the chance, and then she just walks out, and then he's like, bada bing, bada boom, you're dead. Because if she says you're dead, which is why when it comes up at the end, when Marty hesitates, when he's like, do you trust Ruth with your life? That it's like, you better not hesitate in front of her, otherwise, sayonara. So
makes you think twice about decision making. Say something, whatever it is.
But I feel like that kind of labels Marty a little bit more, having her at the top and being so calm and chill that now she's at the head of the operation instead of Marty. So I feel like it kind of shows off his like, what am I gonna do?
Right now. There's this big thing that we haven't touched on yet, which is basically the driving force behind these whole, it seems like it's going to be the season, which is this casino. And this casino is the thing that's going to allow the Byrd family to finally get out from under the cartel's rule, to get out from having to work with the Snells. And it's really, really hard to push through. It just seems like it's not fully working, but they're trying like hell to make it work, because if they do, all their problems are basically answered. So honestly, I'm a little sick of so much casino talk. But I see the purpose. How do you feel about it, and where do you think it's going?
I don't see it happening. I really don't. I think this is going to blow up somehow. I mean, just even thinking about the town Ozark and and the plans that they have for it, and they want to build hotels now too. It just seems way too much and too flashy of a way to launder money. It's an easy way, because with the casinos you can make a lot of money, but it's just too flashy, too much attention. I just don't see it working out. I don't know what's going to happen though.
I think it could happen, but what would kind of keep things going is all the parties involved. Like someone might, whether it's the Snells or the... Actually, I would think most of all it would be the Snells might be get get a little greedy, like, hey, we want a little more, because like, it seems like they're prone to do that. Like, right, hey, let's change the terms of things, you know, and it just give Marty another
headache.
Bizarre
land.
Yeah, like, no, that's, we can't do that. Like, who says we can't do that? What? There's a possibility that I'll say it like this. If it is to get done, like, I feel like that's the next thing. Like, okay, it's done. And like you said, they think like, cool, we're about to do this. And it would be like, no, Marty, we're not finished. I need, you know, and it's like, what? No. And then maybe that, you know, or something happens to it, or it causes some problem. Cause like you said, I would think that would be very flashy too. Like, if you're trying to laundromat, like, they're already, the feds are already like down there, and then all of a sudden you get some casinos and stuff. It seems like they'd be like, yeah, let's really watch what's going on. But
I really just want to see the boat come together and have Ruth be in charge, because the way that she got that boat, I'm like, yes, and then finish the boat, have it be a lot about Ruth, and then Ruth is like opening the casino, and then Wilkes, and there's more stuff going on with Wilkes and Wendy, where that's going to be drama.
Let's talk about Wilkes, because he's also a new character, and we haven't gone into that area. So he's a real interesting one. There's a lot of political corruption in this town. Who knew? Missouri is a very
what's up, Mizzou?
Silly, sassy place.
I'm so confused with Wilkes, though. For a long time, I thought he was gay. I thought he was going to be a gay character.
Oh, really?
Yes, so I was shocked that, like, he's actually hitting on Wendy. I'm like, wait, where did this pop up? Wait, where was my gaydar there? I thought for sure. I don't know what it about him, maybe how he presents himself. But I was,
he's a fancy man.
He's a very fancy man. And I just assumed that he was a gay character. And I was like, yes, throw him in there. Yeah. But clearly I was off.
Yeah. Do you think that he is the same level of, I don't want to say conniving, but like, does he have that same level of political savviness that Wendy does? Is she outmatched here?
I feel that they, just from when they were first doing like the bribes and everything, like, they're almost on like a similar level, you know, which is why he's kind of, I
intrigued.
Think, and almost trying to draw on, like, man, like, you are, like, you do the kind of stuff like I would do, you know, type thing. And I think he likes, like, that's almost like a turn on for him, maybe for him, you know? In terms of like, with their, so yeah, I don't think one's on top of the other. I think they're very evenly matched, which is why they, like I said, they kind of, they work together so well, you know, because she's not, like I said, she doesn't, you know, like, look down upon him. It's like, I feel like she's dealt with these kind of characters before. So she's like, I'm comfortable dealing, you know, because like when she was always bragging, like, man, back in Chicago, we did like circles around, you know.
Right.
So she's like, you don't intimidate me. Like, I've been around like your kind before, you know, doing this kind of stuff. So, and I feel like he hasn't, especially like a woman, probably been like, doing like what? So I feel like it was definitely a very intriguing part, you know.
He liked him. Her because he felt like he was sitting with a female version of himself.
Because she said, I'd wipe the floor with you, which I put him on the same kind of level, which I'm like, if he got lazy, she could take over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Faux
show. I think that's an interesting insight. Something else that's been going on are, hello. Mom, you're supposed to be watching the show.
Mom.
So,
does she have something to say?
She's like, actually, here's what I think about this. Let me tell you something. I'm in Metro Detroit, and I think that he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
So the kids. Wow.
Yeah.
So they're in on this. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning. Is Jonah a little sociopath in the making? What's happening with this kid? He's obviously highly intelligent. Yeah. I mean, that bank account opening was, like, diabolical.
Smooth.
Yeah. Very smooth criminal, literally. What do we think about the kids and the trajectory they're on? How is this all going to pan out? What's going on there?
Jonah is not normal. Like, the way that I can't think of the daughter's name now.
Charlotte.
Charlotte is handling it. It's how I feel like most teens, kids. She's kind of spiraling out. She's like smoking now. She's friends with the bad kids. She's like emotional. I feel like that's a normal reaction without blowing it. She's not like telling everything. But she's being emotional and dramatic at times, which is normal. While Jonah's there like, give me the $5,000. Like, I'm going to launder this money. I'm going to have a bank account. It's so It's a little scary and alarming. But if I was going to be a bird, I would be so happy that Jonah's my son.
Yeah.
Well, it's also interesting, like you said, even with all of that stuff, the stuff he's like running at school with the tests, he's shooting animals. You know, it's just like, man, he's shooting people. You know, he's something. I feel like if something's going to go down, or maybe he might be the one to. Like you said, I feel like he's got kind of like a cold-blooded streak in him. You know?
Yeah.
But, hey, if I need to go out, take the shotgun and take out some stuff, Dad, I'll do it. You know, and you kind of feel like Marty, even going back to the first scene, is just like something about Jonah. You know,
he's a bad seed.
Yeah, you know, it's just like he's doing some weird stuff. You know, type thing. So,
right. Well, kids want to be like their parents. So
yeah, he's just a mini Marty. I still feel like he has that like vulnerable kid side to him because he still was some hesitation in killing the deer. It kept him up at night, like where his mommy had to sit with him on the couch, or it was like, he's just really good at dealing with money, following money. Where should I put it? I learned from Dad.
Right.
He knows the insides to like what the birds do. Where it's like, I don't know that he's that different. It's like if I look at him that way, it's like you have to look at Marty kind of the same way. I feel like he's just turning into a mini Marty in a sense. I don't know that I do the cold-blooded killer streak in him.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's totally capable. And I feel like a few more years goes by, he's going to be in the business of, like, taking out the gun, shoot it, no problemo. Yeah.
Right.
But right now, I think he's still struggling as a kid of, like, just even shooting the deer, which is, like, food. But still, it was, like, hard for him, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's interesting what you said. You used the word he's totally capable, or the words that he's totally capable. And I think what's interesting about this show is that it kind of teaches us that we're all somewhat capable of going down the dark path, because these people were good people who just made a bad decision and then it spiraled. And they keep having these, I would call them redemption fantasies, where it's like, we'll do this and then we'll get out. And we were talking about this a little bit before the show started, but do you think, first of all, that's going to work out for them, number one? And number two, just as a bigger life discussion, do redemption fantasies in life ever work out? Like when you say, if I just lose 10 pounds, I'll be happy. If I just fall in love, I'll finally feel good about myself. If I just have this much money, then everything will be okay. Do those things ever work out in real life?
I feel like for certain, that's a tough, like, just such broad reaching question. Because I feel like you said, the stuff about like money, for instance, you know, you hear that a lot with people, like, oh, if I get like this much, and then people get rich, and then they're like, you know, like super wealthy people are like, but I could always use more, you know? And you're like a billionaire, be like, but that's what I do. Like, I thrive on, I can never have enough, you know, type thing. But you know what? I know I've had those. I was trying to think of like in my life where I've just been like, no, if I just do this, though, I'm going to be good. And then you get it.
And then you're still like, not happy because it's inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether it was like a job, like if I just get this job making this much money, I'll be good, you know? And then it's kind of like, you know, it's almost like one of those things like I remember like my parents like telling me, you know, it's like, you know, you make more money, but then you start getting more expenses, you know? Then you're like it's not as much as I thought, because now I'm like buying more stuff, or you know, you buy the bigger house or you buy the more expensive car or something, you know? And now you're like, I thought I was happy with it. Now I got to go to the next one, and then I'll be happy when I get this job, because then I'll, you know, and it just keeps going.
It kind of seems like that's what this is. Like the further down the road they go, and I know it's because of necessity, but the further down the road they go with these people, the deeper in they get and the harder it's going to be to ever get out. I know this seems like a clear track doing the casino, but I'm not sold that it's going to be 6 months and then they're good.
Right. No. I mean, the end goal of the show would be, like, if they get out, the show's over. There's no more show. So it's like, you can tease us with that idea, but it's never going to happen. We don't know how they're not necessarily, they're going to fall out of the casino life, or if that's going to come to fruition and then they have to stay and more cartel stuff. Who knows? But, I mean, if they get out of the life, the show's done. So it's if they want to end the show at season two and be like, we have to write it off by season three, then they're going to make their way through the course of, like, half of season three. But for now, I'm like, you're not getting out anytime soon if they want to continue the series. Because, like, the end of the, you know, show ends when it's when they succeed.
What are your thoughts?
I'm just listening. Because I'm like, oh, man, you guys are making me think, and I wasn't pulling from the show yet, so I was really, like, into what you're saying.
Right.
Completely agree, yeah.
Yeah. I think also, what do you do after you've laundered money for this many years? Like, yeah. I mean, like, open up a bed and breakfast? I guess they could. Maybe that would be fun. Season 3.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God.
Bed and breakfast.
Suburban family.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's so much going on. Do you guys want to make some predictions? Do you want to go on to something else? We only have a few minutes left. What are your feelings, thoughts, emotions?
It'll never be enough. That's what I was going to say earlier, so I'm just going to say it now.
Oh, there was one interesting thing. Ozark is often at its best when exploring how something so good, like suicide prevention, can coexist with something so damaging, which is laundered money from cartel and other people's deaths. Mm-hmm. So that was talking about when Laura Linney, also known as Wendy, gave the money to the wife of the senator who was threatening to sue Wilkes.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. And this show really is all about juxtaposition. Even the 5 episodes, it ends with 2 big events, waterboarding and a fire in a field. So it's literally opposites, fire and water. So that's something to keep an eye on, are those things that are seem at odds, but they're coexisting in the same world and questioning why they are and what the writers are trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think, like you said, it's like, are they going to circle around or is this something? Because I feel like they drop always like little nuggets that maybe you see later or you're like, oh, yeah. You know, or if you, I don't know, go back and watch things later, you're like, they did say this or someone said this or this happened and which led to this later. So there's always so much to digest with this show, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I'm interested to see too. Like you said, kind of the midway point, and that's kind of a big theme right there. So it's like, is that going to continue on, or like I said, circle back again? We shall see.
Yeah.
Well, we have a couple minutes, so why don't we make some predictions?
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Predictions.
All right. Let's start with you.
So right now we're at the midway point, which is this, explosion of the poppies, but which I absolutely loved. And so I am just waiting to see how the Snells are going to react. I know Darlene is going to be furious because Wendy also kind of tricked her with thinking she's going to have a baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now she doesn't have poppies and she doesn't have a baby.
Yeah. Mm. So I think she's ready to like attack. She's also mad at her husband for being so on board. So I'm ready for that attack. Mm.
Yeah, you know what? Since the whole family baby issue has been, she's brought it up in multiple episodes. I just want to see, you know, for these next 5, like, kind of see if that's going to carry along because she's pushing hard, or she, you know, it comes up multiple
God,
times.
That would
and sometimes
be such
you see
a disaster.
Jacob's face, like every time she says it, he'd just be like, like this again, you know, like you. But you know, she's another one like. She goes out. It seems like she gets her mind set on something. Like, I'm going to get this done somehow. Mm-hmm. So,
and is there something you quickly want to tell us?
Yeah, hey.
Hi.
With our little bit of time. Hey, After Buzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help, so we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels, and by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, please don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. And for now, thanks for being the best fans out there and for helping us to be the ESPN of TV talk.
Bam.
Yes.
Your prediction.
Oh, yeah. I think Ruth is going to take over a little bit more. But I see her working closely with her dad. I hated him, and now he's been a confidant to her of being like, the Snells don't run, so just don't do it because it'll give you away to the cartel, which is a useful piece of information. So now it's like he's stepping into line and being like, great, now he's going to help Ruth. Even though I hated him in the beginning, I still don't enjoy him. He is a useful tool now to Ruth. I feel like she is still going to help Marty and the birds, but I feel like there's going to be something that happens between her dad and Marty, because Marty is like the dad she always wanted, who's giving her opportunity, a job. He trusts her with
still
his life.
Still doing shady things, but still he's doing more of a good guy.
Yes. I think it's between that, like the weakness of waterboarding and the strength of like burning the poppy fields. It's like strength and weakness combined, and I feel like she's going to come at a crossroads with that.
Mm.
All right. Well, I agree with you. I think she's going to have to pick between the two of them.
Yeah.
So that's it for our show today. Stay tuned for next week. We're going to be discussing the final five episodes. It's going to be fierce. We know there's going to be a lot of drama going down. For now, my name is Lauren LaGrasso. You can find me at Lauren LaGrasso on all the social platforms. And also be sure to go ahead and rate, review, and subscribe to this show. It helps us out. We do this for free because we love it. So if you could just do that for us, it would be all the payment we need.
Hi, guys, and I'm Paris Rose. You can find me at Paris Rose on all social media platforms.
I'm Tanir Williams. You can find me at Tanir W on Instagram and Twitter.
Guys, I'm Tara Erickson. You can find me on Twitter at TheTaraErickson and YouTube.com/TaraErickson.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup.
Buzz. See you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.